Many Rivers Whole Health's Mental Health Monday, where we dive into the complexities of mental health and addiction. In the studio, John Hendricks and Ann McWilliams.
Ann, good afternoon, Ann.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
So what are we going to talk about today?
I wanted to talk about the concept of recovery. How do you feel about that?
I'm tantalized by it. Concept. Isn't that really what we're all about?
It really is. But I think people have maybe a limited definition of what that might be. And so let me ask you off the top of your head, if I ask you to define recovery, what do you think that would be?
To me, recovery is recovering. But I mean, you can't use the same word to define the word. So
yeah.
I would say that just getting better and feeling better.
Yeah, actually pretty spot on. I like to use official definitions because I think it really helps clarify terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So the official definition of recovery is a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength, or the action or process of regaining something lost or stolen. So as you can hear, there's lots of room in that definition to sort of personalize recovery. And it's actually necessary to personalize that in order to have long-term success. So let's talk about a return to normal or healthy. You know, a lot of people don't even know what that looks like. They've maybe never had what somebody would consider a normal or healthy state of mind to begin with which to compare a return to it.
Sure.
So recovery then is this journey of finding that out for ourselves.
And that's like going to some place you've never been before.
Exactly, which could be pretty intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then if we talk about regaining something lost or stolen, so for others, there was maybe some past version of ourselves that was normal or healthy that, you know, later in life was taken away by an addiction or by a development of a mental illness or something like that. And so the term regaining something lost or stolen certainly fits there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. A major component of recovery is that it's a personal journey. It's something that each person has to define for themselves. I think sometimes people get maybe scared away from the journey because there's this sort of pervasive idea that recovery entails making a choice to stop everything harmful at once. And that can be intimidating for a variety of reasons, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah.
We have to remember that most of our behaviors that are harming us are still a coping tool. It's still a method for discharging pain. It's still a way of being, even if it doesn't look the best on the outside or it's kind of ultimately self-destructive. So we need to look at and consider the fact that a lot of people may have fear around getting into recovery because they're not sure, especially if you use sort of a limited definition, oh, I have to change everything at once. Well, I'm not even going to try. That's really intimidating and scary. And the idea of letting go of some of our harmful behaviors, even though we know they're harmful, that's also fear-inducing as well.
Boy, that's a load of stuff to think about.
It is.
I'm particularly intrigued by the idea that maybe we don't even know what normal is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And to return to what we might call a normal state would be incredibly unfamiliar ground.
Yeah. Unfamiliar. There's a lot of fear around that and a lot of uncertainty, right? So,
yeah. Hey,
if I don't even know what it looks like to kind of go where I'm going, do I want to make the trip? You know,
yeah.
And that's a valid point.
Is it scarier to make that trip or is it scarier to just keep on doing what I'm doing?
Yeah. So that's a big component too. And I think that a person could vacillate between those two options 27 times a minute.
As a counselor, how would you advise someone in that predicament?
So this is kind of what I like to do is give that definition of recovery and say, is there anything in that definition that feels really loaded to you? And usually they'll say either one thing or the other. Yeah, I don't want to have to give up everything I've been doing, or I wouldn't even know what returning looks like. And so I like to give people a lot of information that, you know, recovery is a journey and a process. And the really cool thing about it is that you get to determine for yourself what components are in there, what that looks like. And sort of as a therapist, I'm just along to help pave the path. It's really up to the client to determine what they want to get out of it or what it looks like for them.
And I've been told, and I don't know this personally, mm-hmm. you do, I think, or you may, in an addictive state, mm-hmm. when that high is so wonderful, giving that up for something you don't know, mm-hmm. giving that up for something that is scary.
Yeah.
That's a wide bridge to cross.
It sure is. And so I think you're kind of landing on sort of what the rub can be, because you can have somebody, once you're kind of in what we consider severe addiction or sort of end stages, there's not a whole lot of fun left in it anymore. It's more of a compulsive behavior that we engage in, even though we know there's no fun left to be had, right? But it's still a way of discharging pain. So even though you know what you're engaging in is awful, the idea that you wouldn't have the painkiller effect, whether that's physical, mental, or psychic, mm-hmm. that's the really, really scary part.
So if I'm reading it correctly, what happens then is since it wears off, we keep adding more and more to it. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it can become lethal.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. We call that tolerance. And that is a thing that happens. You become accustomed to a certain dose. It doesn't have the same effects that it once did. And thus kind of, you know, moves into that cycle of addiction.
So we kind of covered recovery mm-hmm. enough here.
Yep.
If we have, I'd like to move on to how we encourage somebody to get through to that point. And we'll do that with Ann McWilliams right after this.
Gateway Community Services has been providing quality, comprehensive recovery services to the Flathead and beyond. But now, they're even stronger. Gateway has partnered with the Center for Mental Health and is now Many Rivers Whole Health. But what does that mean for our clients? Well, only good things. For starters, their capacity has more than tripled. They offer more services than before and can focus on whole person wellness. If you or someone you know struggles with addiction and does or doesn't have underlying conditions, please call or refer to Many Rivers Whole Health. In Kalispell, they're off North Meridian. Call for you or pass along to someone you love. Many Rivers Whole Health, excellence in whole person wellness. 406-756-6453.
And now, back to Many Rivers Whole Health's Mental Health Monday.
And in the studio with me is Ann McWilliams, a gifted therapist, as you can tell already by just the way she's responding to my terms here and trying to figure out where I am at. Okay, we're in a scary spot here.
Yep.
We know where we are. We can't keep going.
Yeah.
But where we want to go is someplace we've never been before or someplace we have forgotten
right.
ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bridge that gap?
Again, I want to come back to understanding that the term recovery can encompass a lot of different things, and it can very well look different for the individual that's embarking on the journey. It's research actually shows that the person has better outcomes overall if they self-select and self-determine what recovery looks like for them. So let me give you an example. Probably maybe what you're familiar with is this idea that, you know, recovery equals full abstinence. Well, okay, maybe for some people, right? It's possible to be fully abstinent and not be in recovery at all because you haven't done any of the work to make you happy in that space. You can also have somebody that's not yet fully abstinent but is full on in the recovery process. So when sort of an outsider has a narrow view of what that looks like, kind of makes it a little more difficult for the person going on the journey to feel like they're sort of supported.
I remember a time when a person who got some type of a citation for drunk driving or being intoxicated, mm-hmm. They would put them on Anabuse.
Yeah.
And it would make them sick if they even smelled alcohol.
Yes.
It didn't work.
Well, I mean, it works in the interim. They don't want to be sick, but does that, you know, does compliance equal actual change? I don't know. I mm-hmm. tend to think no. I think it can be used as an element. But I think relying completely on complying with some other entity's idea of what a person's recovery looks like means the person in recovery is probably not 100% invested. And then I don't know if that's going to, you know, work out well in the long run.
Well, not only that, but what if you take the Anabuse away?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even with it, though, you still have the same things that caused the drinking to begin
Correct.
And access at the first place, which we haven't solved yet.
Right. Right. So I think you'd ask me about like, what can we do to help people who are seeking recovery?
Yeah.
So, and this might be tough to hear, but I'm going to shoot it to y'all straight.
Okay.
What it really looks like to support someone who's on this journey is to step back from our own idea or definition of what recovery is. I mean, recall that for the best possible outcome, the person actually on the journey has to define it and build it for themselves. Well, what your loved one is doing may disagree with your ideas. Probably a lot of what they're doing disagrees with your ideas about mm-hmm. how things should be. A major component is getting really, really comfortable with this idea of autonomy, that this is a person who has made their own choices that brought them where they're at. They now have to use those same choices and ideas to move them up the path. It's hard because in general, when we love somebody, there are some elements of control in there, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, I love you and I want you back in my life the way I recall. And in order to do that, I think you need to be this way, right? And so a person may only be able, willing, or ready to stop one harmful thing at a time. And as a loved one, we see the wreckage of this person's life. We have this idea of all of the things that they need to do, should be doing, and what we really, really wish they would do to bring them back in our lives the way that we recall and the way that we mm-hmm. feel loved and loved by them. So we don't see the decision maybe to attend counseling or go to a doctor appointment as monumental positive change because it isn't focused on all the other things that they still need to do. But in general, any positive step toward recovery, no matter how small, is beneficial. And I think when somebody's really invested in us and we're just making these small steps and really trying to figure out where we're trying to go, if we haven't made a vociferous commitment to changing everything in our lives all at once, then the people around us are maybe kind of hesitant to think, well, I don't think you're really on a journey here. And so it's tough to love somebody who's going through this process and say, you know what, I support you in what you build and what your vision of what your life needs to look like is going to ultimately be.
What strikes me from what you're saying to me is something very different than going to the doctor with a disease, for example. Mm-hmm. Give me a pill, doctor.
Right.
Give me a treatment.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do what I have to do to get better, but I know that I'm going to get better and I know where that is.
Sure.
You, on the other hand, are saying, wait a minute, this is not a silver bullet. This is not one pill or two pills or a treatment. This is a long-term change that's got to be even longer. And those of us standing by and watching our loved ones go through it, it's so painful to us because we see what's happening or isn't happening or we think isn't happening.
Exactly. Well, like I said, it kind of goes back to this idea about when you really, really genuinely love and support somebody, you really want to foster autonomy, meaning it's this bone deep understanding that this person has to choose these things for themselves and they can go through it themselves. It has to resonate internally for it to be long-term. And like I said, most people get into this journey slowly over time with small positive steps. And we just kind of build those steps one on top of the other until you have a decent foundation and you start to see a path ahead of you. But unfortunately, the people around us are like, why can't you just stop everything right now? Can't you see, you know, what you've done to yourself and don't you care? And, you know, it could be really, really hard to be a person who's supporting somebody in recovery. Best advice is to pull way, way back, love them and encourage them for every little step that they make.
I would imagine that some people going through recovery would rather go it alone.
Yeah.
I mean with counseling, but I mean, and treatment, but I mean, rather than have their loved ones even involved because they don't want to reach out and to those expectations or those perceived expectations.
Yeah, I think you're correct in that. And, you know, the thing is, the paradox that is recovery is that it's really, really difficult to do on your own. But very often people will begin this process alone. And then down the road a piece, they figure out, oh, actually, people do support me in this. Or they start to recognize that the people around them are sort of cheering them on. But yeah, that's the paradox. You do better when you're surrounded by supportive people. But ultimately, this is a solo journey. It's a thing that a person has to figure out for themselves and walk on their own if they're going to build it how they want it.
So the person who is addicted needs to have realistic goals.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And the person who's dealing with any type of a mental illness has got to have good goals, reasonable goals.
Yeah.
Attainable goals.
Yep. And that's, we call that treatment planning in the field.
Okay.
One of the first things that I ask somebody is, you know, if you It's called the miracle question. It's been around for years. But if you could suddenly wave a wand and all your problems disappeared, what would your life look like? And it takes them aback, and they get to sit and think about, well, I think I would have all of these things. They'd be like, yeah, we can get there. Certainly not overnight, but we can do it with all these tiny mm-hmm. little steps between now and in the future.
But for those of us on the outside trying to be supportive, sometimes we are a little too supportive.
Yeah, that could be. And it's also important to remember that the changes happen for a person internally, and they're going on for a while before they're ever visible externally. I mean, if you think about something like weight loss or exercise, that change is happening internally for the person long before anybody sees it, right? And so that's one of those things. And yes, I don't know if there's such a thing as being too supportive. I think when people are trying to help and they don't understand good parameters around helping, that sometimes they can assist that person in continuing on with the harmful behavior. So there is a fine line between support, enable, help. All those things have vastly different meanings.
So I'm going to kind of wrap this up. If I'm reading you correctly here, as a therapist, you have two patients, the one going through treatment and the loved ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then the community.
Yeah.
Our bigger community, because, you know, this affects all of us as society. We don't exist solo. The things that we do have an impact on the people around us and on the micro level with the people right close to you, and on a macro level, the people that you live in the same town with, the people that you, you know, have with each other in society. So mm-hmm. that is the identified client, is all those people who might come into contact with that person.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That gives you an awful lot of people you have to be in tune with.
Yeah.
As a therapist.
You're correct. But the person sitting in front of me who's actually help seeking, that is my identified client. Everybody else is kind of frosting on the cupcake. It's great if it's a good flavored frosting, but a cupcake is still a cupcake. So that's where I'm focused.
All right. Ann McWilliams, always a terrific conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Many Rivers Whole Health's Mental Health Monday. We'll be here next Monday at 12:45. If you missed some or you'd like to share it with friends, find today's and past shows on our Facebook page. And thanks for listening.